You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
No matter how bad your family situation is, in Christ, there is still hope.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of grace and God of mercy, look with compassion upon shaky marriages and troubled homes. By thy Spirit, instill a sincere attitude of repentance into cold and bitter hearts. Move alienated and hate-filled parties by thy forgiveness. Enable those forgiven by you to forgive other family members. And assure, O Lord, the truly repentant of thy unconditional forgiveness found in the sin-cleansing blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray, amen. Marriage is often irritating, hellacious, boring, and shaky. This opinion was expressed by a female guest journalist in Newsweek magazine. She went on to astutely observe that some marriages defy hell itself in description. There are very few family counselors who would challenge this journalist's observation. Countless marriages today are in deep trouble, and the ugly effects of this domestic disharmony have permeated and virtually destroyed innumerable homes and families. Family members are indeed human, and they make mistakes. And that is why there is always going to be some minor moment of mischief and misunderstanding in the home. These occasional difficulties, however, are not what disturbs so many concerned individuals at this hour. In the present generation, we are faced with thousands upon thousands of homes which have increasingly become tenements of torture instead of havens of harmony. They are places most family members would prefer to avoid. Sadly, children from these unpleasant and fight-filled dwellings prefer to spend their extra time at a friend's house, and many of them even end up sleeping there regularly. Distraught wives and bewildered husbands, tired of arguing and fighting, concoct all types of excuses so that they can be away from their homes and from the problems of their families. Social experts have worked diligently to isolate the cause of the increasing domestic disharmony, and it is now evident that a primary factor causing disharmony in the home is the selfish desire of family members to do their own thing. Husbands and wives and children are all involved in this family-damaging and home-destroying sin of self-centeredness. One well-known writer stated, "We are so selfish. We want our own fun, and we want it now. We value pleasure above fidelity, loyalty, generosity, and duty." Numerous homes are now infected. They are diseased by the popular and demonically inspired attitude of meism. This satanic stance slams directly against the loving, forgiving, and joy-producing advice proclaimed in the Holy Scriptures. In the book of Ephesians, we read, Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Most people would admit that they have contributed, at least in some part, to unhappiness in their home. But changing one sinful attitude from love of self to love for others takes more than a mere attitude adjustment. It demands more than a superficial smile or a few grudgingly spoken words of courtesy. A sinful attitude toward a spouse, a wrongful attitude toward children, or a godless attitude by youth toward parents can be effectively corrected only by the sin-defeating power of the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, we read that God expects us to forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven us. There is little doubt that some of you listening today wish desperately that your family could be happier. You wish sincerely that the relationships between your family members could be closer and more loving. You envy those families which stand as shining examples of love and harmony. And as you evaluate your situation, you may even be sorry for the sinful part that you have played or for the times you have failed to act and have thereby contributed tragically to your family's disharmony and hurt. But in your days of discouragement, and as you consider the problems in your family, do not give up hope. Focus your eyes on the calming and consoling crucified Christ of the cross. And remember, God used the cross of Calvary, the one on which Jesus died, as the way to break down the barrier between Himself and you. Your sins alienated you from your loving God, and your sins made you God's enemy. And yet, God has taken the initiative of love and forgiveness. God wants to be your friend again. The obedient and voluntary death of Jesus Christ on the cross has appeased God's anger and righteous wrath. This death has fulfilled God's demand of payment for your terrible sins, for your sins and mine. And it is now that same cross, that symbol of God's eternal love and changeless forgiveness, that has the divine power to break down barriers in a troubled marriage and heal hurts in a divided home. Yes, God wants you and me to forgive our family members just as He has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. Is that too much of God to ask of us? For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, His innocently shed blood paid for your sins completely and entirely. In our so-called sophisticated and allegedly educated society, this incredible message of complete forgiveness, of a meaningful earthly life, and of an eternal hope may sound simplistic and even ridiculous. But I plead with you this hour, do not refuse the assurance of forgiveness God is offering you, either through rejecting it or by casually remaining indifferent. Trust each hour in the sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ and live each day believing and look ahead each moment trusting in the sin-defeating resurrection power of the Savior. This power is the only reliable answer for struggling family relationships. And then take another step. Out of obedience to God who has loved you and redeemed you from sin and hell, listen to and act today upon the words of the Holy Scriptures. Forgive other members of your family just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Oh, you may feel that you are totally innocent, but this makes no difference. Let God begin with you. He has to start somewhere. Let God's spirit of forgiveness control and guide your actions. And then let other family members see God's work in you, on your face, and in your daily deeds. A happy home for you can exist. By God's grace, this is possible. But it is going to take a spirit of self-denial, and this will not necessarily happen overnight. It is going to take an attitude of perpetual family forgiveness, hour by hour and day by day. And it is going to take a Christ-inspired determination on your part to put down your selfish desires and to determine to serve others first. Our text for today admonishes each of us to be kind toward one another. This is true in the family fellowship of Jesus Christ, and it is also true in the human family. Anyone who reads the Bible can rapidly recognize the solemn and awesome responsibilities of being a responsible husband and capable father. God is a God of order, and He has made husbands and fathers primarily responsible for the happiness and the well-being of the home. Husbands and fathers, God in His holy word is asking you, that's right, He is asking you to be kind toward your wife and children. This means more than just sitting idly by with a superficial smile on your face. It means actively listening with a loving and sympathetic ear to the concerns your wife and children express. It also means providing firm and loving discipline for your children when it is needed. If you as a father have, by your fault, been involved in divorce or desertion, then reconsider at this moment the terrible and sinful thing that you have been part of. You may feel that your actions are totally justified by the letter of the law. But remember that the actions of a clever and manipulating divorce court lawyer will never be able to stand up in front of God's righteous wrath on Judgment Day. You will still have to answer for your sins. The children you have deserted are still your responsibility, no matter where they are. At least pray for them. Half the children of divorces in our country have not seen their father in at least a year. Only one-third of divorced mothers receive child support payments. Studies show that for the first year after a divorce, the earning power of a divorced man increases. That's right, it increases 42%, and the income of a divorced woman declines. That's what it says. It declines 73%. It is virtually impossible for many divorced women with children to make it financially. According to one family expert, the failure of fathers to provide financial support, and I quote, is an epidemic of lawlessness that is rivaled perhaps only by income tax cheating. Yes, only you as a delinquent father know what you've done. And do not delay the healing process. Get back home where you belong, and if the situation has changed, making it impossible for you to restore your original family, then do whatever you can. Express your guilt and sorrow, and ask for their forgiveness. Let the sincerity of your repentance be evident not only in your words, but also in your actions. Show your Christ-inspired determination to financially support members of your family who desperately need your help at this hour. If you are a husband and you are listening today, maybe your situation is not as serious as the one I just described. At the same time, however, you may not truly love the wife that God has given you. God, however, will never condone the type of attitude expressed by a man described in a survey reported by Women's Day magazine. This man tolerated his wife. He did not really love her. In public, he acted as if he truly loved her. But in his heart, he secretly desired to have an extramarital affair. However, this devious scoundrel did not have the courage of his sinful convictions. The man confessed, "I just don't have the nerve to risk the consequences." "Suppose," he said, "a friend of my wife sees me going into a motel with another woman, or I accidentally leave her phone number in my pocket and my wife finds it. Those things happen, you know," he said, "and then everything hits the fan." Oh, let all such husbands realize that there will be a final day when God will examine the way that they have treated their spouses. Women and wives are neither slaves nor mistresses. They are special creations of God, and they are loved by God. Those who mistreat them will come face to face with the consuming wrath and the judgment of a holy and an angry God. Yes, it is when we honestly see our failures that God's mercy means so very, very much.
God promises grace and mercy to all who turn from their sinful ways and who walk in the paths that He has established. The love and mercy of God is totally unexplainable and entirely incomprehensible. God has made it graciously clear, all who come to Him for forgiveness will never be turned away. The kindness spoken of in our text for today is also the kindness that God expects of a wife and a mother to cheerfully and willingly demonstrate. This is not always easily understood in our unsettled and changing society. In recent years, misguided social planners have intentionally and sinfully altered traditional roles held by wives and mothers. Motherhood used to be considered one of the greatest blessings of life. Now, it is often sneeringly and disdainfully spoken of as a burden or a social inconvenience. So great has been the shift that even serious, God-fearing, and well-intentioned wives and mothers have been left totally confused and even in despair. When a high-ranking military officer who had been a Vietnam prisoner of war for many years was released, he admitted publicly that his adjustment to normal life was quite challenging. And one of his biggest adjustments was to accept the changes in the role of women in society caused by the feminist movement. If you are a wife or mother, do not be confused by the demeaning values or role models some people are attempting to establish for you. Follow the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Scriptures alone. The words of Jesus Christ recorded in the Gospel of John are very simple and clear. Jesus said, "If therefore the Son, that is Jesus, shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed." You have been liberated by Jesus Christ. You have been freed from the curse and the power of sin. You are now free to serve God by serving your family. Be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. As best possible, try to keep a clean and orderly home. If you are now working, take just a moment and ask yourself whether you really, honestly have to be away from your family. For this absence can be one of the devil's greatest temptations to destroy your family and eventually even you yourself. But if you must work, then, as you are able, make sure that the needs of your husband and children are met. God expects you to do this. Encourage your husband when he is down. Accept his shortcomings and don't always nag, nag, nag. Love your children. Husbands and wives, rescuing your wrecked relationship and salvaging your fighting and forlorn family is no simple task. This is not like vacuuming a rug. It's not like sprinkling a little insect dust in the cracks and crevices of your home in order to keep the demons from destroying your home. Turning to God for reliable help means listening to Him. But even more important, it means obeying Him. It means trusting in His gracious promise of forgiveness. It demands making a sincere effort to change your selfish and self-centered attitude. It requires you to serve others instead of always expecting to be served. There is still hope for your family. And so, in the words of the divinely inspired Holy Scriptures, God is speaking, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Amen.